Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Bricado's Sandwich Shop, 5021 East Columbus Drive in Ybor City, home of the best devil crabs in town. When you go by there, and I know you will, don't forget to try that devil crab. Bucks Uncensored is also brought to you by Sports Legends Bar and Grill, home of one of the best draft parties this area, Tampa Bay, has ever seen. We took the roof off that mother. Phenomenal food. It's all fresh, and it's the only place in Tampa where you can eat like a legend and drink like a champ. It's at the corner of US 19 and Drew in Clearwater. Sports Legends Bar and Grill, where you can eat like a legend. This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. We are self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family. You see what we do as a family. I can't feel my face and the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. Yeah. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. One heartbeat. Let's get it.
Let's go, Bucks! Let's go, Bucks! Let's go, Bucks! Bucks Uncensored! Bucks Uncensored!
Good to be talking to you on a week where we get to go back inside Raymond James Stadium for the first time since last season. And while I do know that it's a preseason game, as I said in Saturday's podcast, it's a game of important meaning for each and every one of us as members of the State Carriers. There's no membership fee or anything like that. Just we've realized who we are before others have. Because, see, here's the deal. We're all stick carriers. We are. Scott Ledger said it best, former voice of the Buccaneers Radio Network doing their pre- and post-game show. But he said it at the training camp takeover. He said, I've always been a stick carrier. I just didn't know that that's what it was called. And that's what we've done. So we're going to dive into the team a lot in this podcast because we're two preseason games in. The third preseason game, typically the quote-unquote dress rehearsal, even though the Godfather himself, Dirk Cutter, does not like that saying. That's coming up on Saturday night. That's also our preseason pillage. All of the details, and I'll go through all the details as well later on in this podcast again, just so I'm clear and everyone understands what's to come, because people are like, but I'm not sitting in one night. Just relax, okay? We've all got seats all over the stadium. Just keep listening to this podcast. I'll give you more details coming up later on in the podcast. And But for this, I mean, I want to dive into, and then we got, of course, the fourth preseason game, which is the worst. But what do we know and what do we don't know at this point? And I'll tell you what at least I know and what I don't know coming up here in a moment. I do want to, because we have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people listening to each episode of the Bucks Uncensored podcast. First off, thank you. It is mind-boggling to me how much our community has grown in such a short time. You should be applauding each other. I'm applauding you. I mean, I went on the Facebook group page for the Stick Carriers, and we're nearly at 4,500 already. That Facebook page was made in May and grew organically over the most boring, slow football months of the year. And we are just at the tipping point right now. We are just starting to just crack that window open. It's amazing what we've all done together in a short time, and we haven't even gotten a chance to go inside that stadium together, to march inside Raymond James Stadium together, chanting that Buccaneer logo, name, spelling it out, BUCCANEERS. Making our way to the sections as the players warm up, doing a roll call. All right, I'll get to the more details later on, but it's going to be exciting Saturday night, and just a precursor and a kind of a warning shot to the team saying, hey, this is what you can expect all season long. I'm Justin Pulaski, the commish. I host Bucks Uncensored, and happy to help in leading the charge for the Stick Carriers, because together we will lead the charge within Raymond James Stadium and make sure that we have among the best home field advantages in all of sports. That is our goal. To do for our team what we want our team to do for us, and that is win. We want to win in the stands. We want them to win on the field, and together we will celebrate victory after victory. Because you win your home games, you got a great shot. Just winning your home games, you got a great shot. Because then you just have to go on the road and win a couple. And I think this team is built to win at home, and they're built to win on the road. So what do we know about the Buccaneers this season? What have we learned from them through training camp? What have we learned from them through the first two preseason games? And if you are new to the podcast, I shoot from the hip. I'm not a guy that's going to sit down and take a ton of notes. Nothing is scripted. It's an uncensored podcast. We can say shit or fuck or whatever you want. That's what gives this podcast a little bit of a different feel than others. I allow you and I to say what's on our mind. It's sports. It's especially football. And a lot of cussing comes with football. So why censor you out? We'll give you an uncensored platform to speak your opinion. I'll speak my opinion. And, of course, the best part about all of this is that all Bucks fans can interact with other Bucks fans right here on this podcast. All you got to do is record your voice on your phone using the voice memo feature. You record your voice. You're done. You email it to BucksUncensored@gmail.com, and we'll play Bucks takes. That's what we call them, Bucks takes, in the second portion of this podcast. But what have I learned? What do I know about the Bucks this season after two games? I'll tell you what I do know. I know that this offense has the firepower to be great. The Glazers, all the way back to Malcolm Glazer, and it has made its way down to Joel and Brian. The Glazers have always been enamored by offense. Since the days of Tony Dungy and them wanting to get rid of him and trading four high draft picks for John Gruden, They have been enamored with offense. And they might just get it this year. They might finally get the offense they've always wanted. They never really got that offense under Gruden. Gruden obviously won a Super Bowl, but it wasn't that top five offense, an offense that could put up 30 points a game. They definitely didn't get that with Raheem Morris and Josh Freeman or Greg Schiano or Lovie Smith. But Dirk Koetter takes over as head coach. Jameis Winston comes in as the first overall draft pick. And then you start surrounding Jameis Winston with weapons. It started the year before Winston was drafted when they drafted the Bucks, Mike Evans. And this offseason, surrounding him with other players like DeSean Jackson, Chris Godwin, who we'll get to in a moment, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, who came on last year, Adam Humphries in the slot. There's so many weapons for Jameis Winston to work with, and all we've seen in the first two preseason games is this starting offense go right down the field to start a game. And don't get me wrong. As much as I tell people don't overreact to bad things, don't overreact to good things either, because all of these games are is they're just another practice to a lot of these players. They're trying, especially the players that know they've got positions locked down, they're trying to get ready for the regular season. So I look at individual battles. I'm not looking at play calls, okay? I think a great example of that is the first preseason game against the Bengals. Bucks go right down the field. They get into the red zone. They throw two fade passes back-to-back to Mike Evans. Now, I remember somebody standing next to me. We were at Sports Legends at the time for the kickoff party for the stick carriers. And somebody turned to me and said, what kind of play calling is that? I was like, the play calling of the first drive of the first preseason game. They're not going to give away any of their secrets. They're not going to run their key red zone play in the first preseason game of the first drive. It's just not going to happen. So I'm looking at individual matchups. I'm looking at Jameis Winston. Is he reading the field? Is he finding open receivers? They're probably running base routes, but can he read, go through his progressions, and find the open receiver? He did that in the first game. He did that in the second game. Spreading the ball around. Different receivers, whether it was Evans or DeSean Jackson or Adam Humphries or Cameron Brate or O.J. Howard. I mean, you could see Jameis Winston going through his progressions. So what do I know? I know that this offense has the potential to be great. Absolutely great. I know that the Bucs offensive line this year, and all you can go by is potential, right? At least for right now. I know that the Bucs offensive line this year has the potential to be the best Buccaneer offensive line they've had in the last 10 years. Last 10 years. I think Ali Marpet sliding over to center could be one of the key moves of the Buccaneers in the last 5 years. He's smart enough. He's got the bulk. He's got the strength. You know, and I think what you get from Ali Marpet is Joe Holly with size. Now, maybe he's not as tenacious as Joe Holly is. Maybe that's more Sweezy at right guard now. But Ali Marpet and his natural instincts and his awareness and brains is so welcomed right now at center. And I think it becomes the glue to that entire offensive line. If that offensive line starts clicking the way it did against Jacksonville in giving Jameis Winston that much protection and opening up gaping holes in the run game, look out. That will be the reason that the Bucs offense becomes truly great this season. All the weapons they have mean nothing if they don't have a solid, and I think they have a much above average offensive line in front of Jameis Winston this year. That's what's going to make this offense great. I think that what we know, it's so hard of what we know. What we know is the Bucks have a lot of shit at kicker. They've had a lot of shit at kicker. They had to kick Roberto Aguayo out the door. Nick Folk has not been much better. And what we know is, we know that they've got to be in panic mode right now when it comes to their kicking situation. So many games in the NFL come down to 8 points or less. So many games come down to one score or less in the NFL. And that score doesn't necessarily have to be at the end of the game. Imagine getting a field goal in this, missing a field goal in the second quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, rather than being down by two, you're down by five. Imagine making a field goal with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter, and by the end of the game, now you're looking at a situation where you're up by nine rather than up by six. You know, there's different scenarios of how this all plays out, but we're not just talking about game-winning field goals here. We're talking about field goals in times where maybe you didn't realize that they were that important, but their importance shines late in the game when you're either closer than maybe you would have been had they missed it, or further away and facing a very steep uphill battle because your kicker missed a 40-yard field goal in the second quarter. Can't happen. Got to fix the kicking situation. Got to keep your eye out on the open market. I have a strong feeling that the Bucks defense is going to be a defense that flies under the radar, but a defense that could be among the best defenses in the NFL this season. So much has been talked about with the Bucs offense and all the firepower they have on that side of the ball that I still find it humorous when people say that the Bucs defense is their weakness heading into this season. Little do we forget that during the Bucs' five-game winning streak at the end of last season, near the end of last season, during those five games, the Bucs defense had some of the best statistics defensively any defense has had in years. It was them and the New York Giants during that stretch. When you looked at statistically, no other defense even came close. Even came close. And I think that brings the crowd back into it. Because during that stretch, I think it was Bears, Chiefs, Seahawks, Chargers, Saints. I want to say, maybe not in that order, but it was those games. The Bears game, not so much, but that Seahawks and Saints home games, the crowd was electric. Now imagine, because it does come back to us, right? As the stick carriers leading the charge. Now imagine having that electricity in the stands from the beginning of the season for each and every home game. Look at how much better the team played when we arrived, when we showed up. We as fans, we can do this for them every single game. And if we do that and they perform the way they performed when we showed up and they do that for all eight home games, you're damn right the Bucks are going to be tough to beat this season. Not just at home, but they've got the talent to do it on the road as well. They do. So what am I concerned about? What am I not 100% sure about yet? And again, two preseason games to go. There's no need to hit a panic button. It's just what questions do I want answered before this season is up? Well, I want to figure out what's going on at running back. I want to figure it out. Doug Martin's going to be back for the Giants game. Jacquizz Rodgers has not touched the ball that much. Charles Sims, I want to like him a lot. I'm having a tough time doing it. Peyton Barber, I mean, nice guy. He's not going to scare you as a running back, though, right? We can all agree on that. I think when we sit there and we watch the NFL draft, and this is happening for a number of years, but we watch the NFL draft and we're like, damn, got to get a running back. Hey, that guy's still there. Nope. That guy's still there. Nope. That guy's still there. Nope. I mean, it got to the point where USF's Marlon Mack was in the fourth round. I'm sitting there going, you going to draft him or what? They didn't. They targeted a guy named Jeremy McNichols, who, again, the overreaction, we don't know. We really don't know how good Jeremy McNichols could be because he's running behind an offensive line, probably of five guys who aren't going to make the team. Or maybe one is going to make the team, Joe Holly. Maybe. When you have backup offensive linemen, you want them to be versatile, and Holly really is only a center. So, I don't know, shrug my shoulders on that one. But it, when then I watch Marlon Mack and what he does with the Colts, I'm like, So what do the Bucs do at running back? Well, I think it's, while we don't know for sure what they're going to do, we do know that Jacquizz Rodgers is going to get probably a majority of the carries. Charles Sims is going to be the third down back. And then you'll have Peyton Barber and maybe McNichols as guys who can fill in if anything happens to those first two guys. And you'll probably see Peyton Barber a little bit, maybe a few carries a game. And McNichols will probably sit on the outside looking in just in case an injury happens. Back to what I do know, though. I do know from what I've seen, Doug Martin still has the shiftiness and agility to make people miss. The rough part is he really doesn't have the speed to outrun anyone. There was one play, I think it was against the Jaguars, I'm pretty sure it was, where he juked a guy, and it was like, oh, shit. And then he tried to run outside and, I mean, literally got chased down for a one-yard gain. So I do know that Doug Martin still does not have the speed, but he is the most talented running back that they have. That's not saying much. Jacquizz Rodgers was available week two or week three of last season. Charles Sims is Charles Sims. Peyton Barber, undrafted free agent. Jeremy McNichols, what, fifth round pick. So there haven't been high investments in the Bucs running backs. And for an offense that could potentially be dynamic, not having a run game, making you one-dimensional in an NFL where that's what they try to do is make you one-dimensional, is a little bit concerning. On defense, I'm unsure about what's going to happen with these safeties. I like Keith Tandy, and I like him a lot. Will Cox was brought in. He's made some nice plays. Conti is still in there. Whether you like him or not, Conti is still there. But I don't know what to get with this Justin Evans. Second round pick. Go ahead. Oh, another second round pick. I'll talk about Chris Godwin in a moment, but I don't know, because you want Justin Evans to flash at safety and you want him to flash at special teams, and he's really not flashing in either of those areas right now. And so for a team that was hoping, I'm sure, as a second-round pick, he would come in and immediately challenge for a starting job as a safety, we're not really seeing that from him, which has opened the door for especially a guy like Keith Tandy, who is a very bright player, very smart player, and was a key player during that five-game stretch last year. And nobody should be calling Justin Evans a bust. No rookie is a bust at this stage. So, and I never understood that. Ah, he's a bust. Okay, well, he's played two preseason games, so you can shut the fuck up. But I want to see more. I want to see if Justin Evans can make an impact on this defense. And by the way, a negative with one draft pick, a positive with another. I know Chris Godwin is on the fast track to being an integral player on the Bucs offense this upcoming season. So I think when we look at it, and I can go through position by position, but I think there's more that I know than I don't know, and the things that I don't know, I'm not overly concerned with, except maybe kicker. And if I'm Jason Light and I'm Dirk Cutter, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out, well, who are our last cuts going to be? Well, I mean, and maybe I'll do this on another episode, but Riley Bullock, he's not going anywhere. He's on my team. Those are the type of people I want making up my team. He's really good. Really good. I think he's going to be a hell of a player on special teams as well. So, not really worried about that. What I'm worried about is I need to know every single kicker on every single team, and I want to see video on every single kicker, and I want to see the statistics on every single kicker during the preseason. Go. Go, scouts. Get them for me. Because we got to figure this shit out, and we got to figure it out now. And if I need to trade a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick for a guy who's going to get cut just so I can ensure my team having first dibs on him, then that's what I got to do. You're trading for another kicker. There you go, trading for another kicker. Well, they haven't been able to find one. And until they find one, you got to keep being aggressive with that. Because as I said on the last podcast, you got to figure out. For those of you that said, I'd never draft a kicker in the second round. Well, you're saying kicker's not important. But now when kickers miss field goals, you're saying, well, they got to find a kicker that can make field goals. Well, now is kicker important? I believe kicker is an important position on a football team. You never want to give away points. And by not having a kicker, you're giving away points. You got to keep trying until you find a kicker, a reliable kicker. He doesn't have to be the best kicker in the NFL. But when you send him out there for a 35 or 40-yard field goal, you've got strong confidence that guy is going to put it through that upright. That's where my main focus is. That's where it should be, and that's where it's hopefully with the Buccaneers right now. Because like I said and like I just went through, this is a team who has strong potential on offense and very strong potential on defense. And if the two of those come together and the one thing holding this team back ends up being the kicker situation, ugh, I'm going to be really, really pissed off. And I think all of you will be as well. Now let's shut up. Let's speak softly. Let's get ready for Saturday night. And let's show the Bucs what they can expect this season. Because it's going to be special. It's going to be very, very special when you talk about what we're going to bring in the stands and what we're going to show them on Saturday night.
Bucs Uncensored.
I can't stop this feeling. Inside of me, girl, you just don't realize what
what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right. What kind of feeling?
It's Bucks Uncensored. Justin Pulaski, the Commish. At Commish Online on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. J Pulaski 324 on Snapchat. And I don't really use Facebook all that much for the Commish page, but I do invite you to go and log in to the Stick Carrier Facebook page. Just search for Stick Carriers. And you can interact with Stick Carriers all across the world. It really is amazing how much this has grown, and happy that we can bring all these Bucks fans together as one, finally. And hopefully we can do the same inside Raymond James Stadium on Saturday night. Hey, quick thing I want to point out. This is the last voting. I think voting ends on Wednesday. And this podcast has been nominated for a Best of the Bay Award with Creative Loafing. The link is up on our Facebook page. I've tweeted it out a few times as well. Maybe I'll tweet it out again. I would love to, you know, have y'all vote. We've got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people listening to this podcast. And it would truly be an honor to, you know, win one of these awards. I think I'm up for best podcast, best internet radio show, best sports writer, best follow on Twitter. So, if you have 5 minutes of your time, again, the thousands of people listening to this right now, if you could give 5 minutes to go and vote, that would be awesome. I would really, really appreciate that. Would be cool. And, just show the impact that we've all made together, not just with this podcast, but with this entire movement. The movement really begins. I mean, it's been a slow build up, right? We had the draft party together. We had the training camp takeover, which was massive. Okay, it was massive. It was phenomenal. We had our Stick Carrier kickoff party last Friday night. Not this past Friday, the Friday before, for the first preseason game at Sports Legends. Huge crowd, big crowd, everyone cheering. I love it. I love the energy everyone brought. But how is this going to translate into that stadium? How can we are stronger together in numbers? We are going to take back Ray J, but how are we going to do that? You know, there's only so much we're going to be able to coordinate together. It's going to be up to each and every one of us that is sitting in sections outside of 119, 120, 121. Because as we found out, there's actually more Stick Carriers sitting in 121 than there is in 119. So that entire corner of the end zone there is going to be very, very loud. For each of us, and my tickets, I've got tickets in 119, but I got tickets in 109 as well. And a lot of you are spread out throughout the stadium. We have to feed off of the energy of that corner of the end zone and make sure that our sections do exactly what they're doing. And that is getting loud as fuck, especially when the defense is on the field. We've got to do it, folks. We've got to make it happen. And I think a great way to make it happen is to make sure that we are hyped going into every single game. You know what pisses me off more than anything? Is when people show up late to a game. Fuck. How are you showing up late to a game? You want to know why people show up late to games? Because they're not an event. It's not cool to be in your seats at kickoff. Well, that shit changes right now. It's going to not only be cool to be in your seats before kickoff, you're going to want to be in your seats for warm-ups. This is what we're going to start. This is something that we can do together. And this is something we can grow together. Now, there is an event page on Facebook for our stick carrier preseason pillage of the Bucks and Browns Saturday night. All of the details are there. I'm asking you to go there. Let us know if you're going to the game, if you're going to join us for this. Would love to, you know, try and get a head count at least. We're not going to be doing tailgate parties during the preseason games. The tailgate party announcement will come possibly this week. So just bear with us. If we can iron out all the final details, there will be an announcement this week for tailgate parties starting in the regular season. But for this preseason game, our first chance inside Raymond James Stadium. Game starts at 7:30. It's a Saturday night. What else are you going to be doing? What else are you going to be doing? Are you going to be tailgating? Oh, you want to sit in the tailgate? We're all going to meet outside of the ticket office there. You know where it is. South End Zone, Plaza area. Everyone's going to be wearing their stick carrier shirts. You're going to see us. We're all going to be, and we're all going to meet there. And we're going to meet there between 6, 6:15, and then between 6:15 and 6:30, we're going to just round it all up, and we're going to head inside the stadium. We go together because we are stronger together in numbers. We go together. We go inside the stadium. We are chanting. We are BUCCANEERS, go Bucks in it. We are Tampa Bay in it. We're Let's Go Bucks in it. We're carrying that stick. Carry that stick. And we're not taking the escalator. We are going to walk up the ramp. It's a little bit of exercise, but you know what? It echoes. It sounds so good. People are going to hear us from the parking lots. They're going to wonder what the hell is going on. And we're going to go right up the ramp. The ramp lets out right at section 119, 120, and 121. I don't care where your seats are. You can be in 228. You can be in 109. You can be in 304. You can be in 331. You can be anywhere in that stadium. I don't care. But that early, during those warm-ups, they're going to allow us. We're going to all sit together. We're going to all take over those sections. And we are going to cheer on our team like they've never been cheered on before during warm-ups. And get ready, because this is what we're going to do every single home game. No more missing kickoff. We're going to get our team so jacked up during warm-ups that they won't be able to see straight come kickoff in a good way. We're going to do a roll call. We're going to chant players' names as they come out of the tunnel until they acknowledge us. And they're going to be jacked up. This is what we did at the training camp takeover. And each and every one of you that was there saw the players' reactions. And for those of you that weren't there, you saw the videos. We are going to make it an even bigger stage inside Raymond James Stadium. But I need each and every one of you to take part in it. This isn't something one person can do. This isn't something 10 people can do, or 50 people can do, or 100 people can do. We need thousands of us together, and I know there are thousands of us out there. You reach out, you bring a person, you bring three people, you bring five people. Again, this isn't a membership. This is a way of life. And we're going to grow it. We're going to grow it as much as we can in a short amount of time, because the quicker we grow this home field advantage, the quicker it's going to make our team's job easier to win games at home. So many years we bitched because our team wouldn't win at home. Well, guess what? Maybe now it's time we do our part, because they've done their part in putting together what they feel is a very strong roster and what I feel is a very strong roster. So if I feel they've got the strong roster in place, then maybe it's now time for us to take some of the responsibility in building that home field advantage to make it just a little bit easier on them. We chant the players' names. Once the warm-ups are done, they go into the locker room. At that point, we all disperse. The stick carriers take over Raymond James Stadium. A majority will end up staying in 121, 120, and 119 right there in the corner of the end zone. But for many of us, our seats are elsewhere. You go to your section. Guess what you just became? You're the stick carrier representative of your section. The energy will start, and you will feel it from the southwest corner inside that stadium. But mark my words, it is up to each and every one of you to make sure that that energy flows throughout the entire stadium. And as our energy grows through each and every game, people are going to want to join the movement. They want to join this movement. They want to be a part of something special. This is something that I've always wanted since I was a kid, and each and every one of you have told me the same exact thing. Why have we never been able to build this before? Because we just never knew each other existed before. We listened to the lies of the media, to the negativity that would beat us down. Those days are done. It's now time for the stick carriers to take over and take back Ray J from the negativity. To take back Ray J from the opposing team's fans. To take back Ray J from the empty seats and the silence. Those days are done. It's now time for us to become the new norm inside Raymond James Stadium. And now I ask you once again, are you ready? We'll start with Mark in San Antonio, Bucks Takes.
Hey, Justin, this is Mark from San Antonio. I just want to say thank you for the podcast. Thank you for leading this movement. It's really something special, and I think it comes out of a lot of good motivation. And I got to be honest, it brings me right back to my childhood growing up watching these Bucks in the 90s. And there was nothing negative about being a Bucks fan then. I mean, Trent Dilfer was like my hero, and I didn't even know any better. This is something really special, and I think that, you know, my mind goes back to the divisional playoff game against the Redskins. We came back, won 14-13, or you know, Mike Alstar running all over the Lions in the playoffs. Even the revenge game with Dunn lateraling to Sean Kane to keep the drive alive to beat those stinking Rams. Rondé Barber shutting down the Vet. I mean, all these awesome memories just keep flooding back, and it makes you, you know, excited to be a Buck fan. And that feeling that I've had during those moments is the same feeling I have for anticipation for this season. So I will be going to Tampa for the first time in my life. I'll be attending the Bucks game against Cleveland. I am so stoked for that. Got some good seats, flying my dad down, who's a Cowboy fan, but agreed to be a Bucks fan for a day. This is all really special stuff. So remember, speak softly, carry that stick.
All right, Mark. I guess we'll see you on Saturday then. Be there at 6, right outside that ticket office. We'll give you the full experience of being a member of the stick carriers. Looking forward to meeting you, Mark. Thanks. A lot more Bucks takes. Let's get some... how about Brando out on the West Coast? Hello, Brando.
Justin, Kamish, it's your boy Brando out of SoCal. First Bucks take here, man. I just want to say I love what you're doing with the movement, that you've basically woken a sleeping fucking giant with this fan base. Now, it's time for all of us Bucks fans to show these other fan bases that we ain't no pushovers. And we love and we are 100% behind this squad. Now, I know I'm way out here in SoCal, so I can't make it to all events. I wish I could have been at the takeover. I wish I could be at the Browns takeover. But you know what? I'm going to be there in spirit. And best believe I am going to be at that Cardinals game going fucking berserk for this team. Till next time, speak softly. Carry a big motherfucking stick.
the Buckaholics are going to be out there, I know, for that Cardinals game. And, man, just really, really happy that, you know, the Buckaholics and, you know, What the Buck and, you know, this podcast and just so many just are coming together. And it's awesome. And it's awesome interacting with all of them on Twitter. And, you know, they're not bigger Bucks fans than me or any of the quote-unquote stick carriers. And guess what? I, nor any of you listening to this right now, are bigger Bucks. We all want the same thing. We really do. You know, whether you paint your face or not, whether you scream loud or not, maybe you don't scream as loud as I do. I'm a very loud person. But you know what? You're giving it your all. That's fine. This isn't a measure of who's the biggest fan. This is a measure of what can we do to help our team succeed. And I think being loud as fuck inside that stadium is a great way to start. It's just me. But I really do think it's a great way to start. Rodzilla, the motherfucking killer, is on Bucks Uncensored.
This is Rodzilla, the motherfucking killer! And I'm back with another Bucks take. I'm going to try to make this as quickly as I can, because I know there's other people that want to talk, so here we go. First of all, the first two preseason games, I saw exactly what I wanted to see from my offense, no three and outs. We marched up and down the field at will, with very little resistance. I don't give a shit that Jameis Winston threw an interception. I could give a fuck less. Because what happens next? We'll get the fucking ball back. We'll walk down there a fucking game. So who gives a shit? It's fucking preseason. Defense look good. Offensive line look good. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why did Roberto not wear that motherfucking kicking shoe that you sent him? I don't know why the motherfucker didn't wear it. I'm watching the game with the wife. He kicks it, hits the upright. I said, oh shit. He finna get fired. Then he get ready to kick the second one. And he misses again. I said, oh shit. Babe, this motherfucker is not gonna make it out to end of the day without getting fired. See, I couldn't be a GM. Because I would have had somebody tell him after he missed it to go out there, tell Roberto to take his shit off. Take my shit off and leave it right there on the fucking field and get the fuck out. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Walk out with the motherfucking fans. Do not even walk in the fucking locker room. I couldn't be a GM because I'm cold like that. Fuck that shit. Your ass got too many chances. Get the fuck out. And that comes to the reason why we're not going in the big ass sack this week. 2 days later, I hear a ring at my doorbell, at my door. Ding dong. I go answer it. It's UPS with a package. Open the package up. Damn, it's the open toe kicking shoe I sent Roberto with a note on it. It said, Dear Rodzilla, sorry that idiot didn't wear your shoe the other day, but you know what? I made great use of it. Signed, Jason Light. Yep, he put his foot so far up his ass, he landed in fucking Chicago. Well, anyway, that leads us to this. Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick. Ouch, that hurt.
Rodzilla, the motherfucking killer, back again. Good to have you, Rodzilla. I haven't heard from you in a little bit. Let's see who we got here. Brando's already gone. Did we go there already? Yeah, I think we do. What up, D?
Hey, Commish D from Southern Colorado. All right, everybody's talking about the kickers left and right. Here's a question.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
Should we consider going for two more often? Do you think that's just like a knee-jerk reaction, or is there a viable option going for two, especially with how this offense is looking? Cam Brake, you have our boy O.J. Howard, D-Jax, my bad. D-Jax, Mike Evans, so many weapons. What do you think? Just curious. All right. Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
D, I
nailed it.
Okay. I actually do think that it's a legitimate question. I think it's a question on a lot of people's minds that are listening to this right now. But I also think that it's a knee-jerk reaction. And I think the better alternative is keep searching for a kicker. Now, if you get into the season and these kicker issues continue to come up, week four, week six, whatever, yeah, then I'm going to start to make changes to my mentality in how I coach the team and the decisions I make. But you got to have faith in your kicker. As I said, you don't want to give away points in the NFL. That's field goals, but also extra points. It's the easiest of easy. I mean, just because they backed it up to 30 yards, you should still be able to make that. Okay? So they got to figure that out. They got to figure it out quickly. And I don't want to see them going for two. I do. I think you're just throwing in the towel at that point. If that's the case, don't even let a kicker take up the roster spot, because you're pretty much just saying, nah, not worth it. Scott's in Pennsylvania. Hey, Scott.
Justin, Scott from Pennsylvania, calling you from Salisbury, Maryland. I'm in a baseball tournament here, so I'm swinging my big motherfucking stick this weekend. But I have to tell you, after listening just to the first half of your podcast, because I got to go to a team dinner tonight, I'm coming down to Tampa for Saturday night's preseason game. I am so pumped up. I have never been this excited about a preseason game. Now, I did go to Cincy. I was excited about that game, but I can't wait. I can't wait to gather outside. I love it that we're getting in early. I happen to be a guy that gets there early for every game. 2 hours when the gates open, I'm in. So I'm so fucking pumped up. And, you know, with regards to Jameis, I just listened to Lee's Bucks take before sending this in. I would not make a good coach. Because when Jameis said, well, I threw it up thinking one of our guys would get it. If I was a coach, I'd say, well, makes sense to me. But that's why I'm not a coach. But I am a big motherfucking fan, and I carry a big motherfucking stick. I'm so pumped up to see you stick carriers on Saturday night. Bye now.
All right, Scott, you mentioned Lee. Well, Lee had a buck steak on the last podcast, and guess what? He's back again for this one. Hey, Lee.
Yo, stick carriers, what's up, Justin? It's Lee from the T. Man, I'm just still so excited about what I saw Thursday from the Bucks preseason game, man. I can't wait to go to the home game this week, preseason game. Can't wait to see how they build off of the performance they had last week. The offensive line was solid. They gave Jameis all day and night to get rid of the ball, and he was making great decisions getting rid of the ball. And the defense looked amazing. They played so fast. Everybody looked like they knew where they were going. I'm just excited to see the progress and where this team looks like they're heading. I got to give it up to the defensive line and Jared McCoy, man. You know, when he's on it, everybody else pretty much follows. It just everything comes together when he plays hard. And he was digging in this week, man. He was actually trying to fight through double teams, like, with 100% effort. I didn't see him take one playoff. I really didn't. And the defense followed, man. I love seeing that out of this team when everybody's on the same page and playing for each other. But see you guys this week at the first preseason home game. I did help support with the family, the guy, the gentleman, who, you know, unfortunately, Stick Carey, who recently we lost, wishing his family the best, and provided my support what I could, and I hope the other Stick Careys are able to do what they can. But until, guys, let's stick together, keep carrying your big sticks, and see you this week. Peace.
Amazing stuff, Lee, and thanks for donating. Yeah, that's for Richard Zeller. There is a GoFundMe account out there for Richard Zeller, who suddenly passed away, leaving behind his kids and his wife, and just a huge Bucks fan. I mean, really has been a gigantic Bucks fan for years upon years. Now the total is over $11,000. The goal was $2,500. They're over $11,000. Let's keep it going. As I said on a previous podcast, you know, even if just $5, just go. Don't go to lunch one day. I mean, honestly, it's amazing how much you save by not going out to lunch. But man, just $5. Imagine if 1,000 people gave $5. That's $5,000. Imagine if 2,000 people gave $5. $10,000. We just want to do some good, man. We just want to do some good in this community, the community we all live in, where most of us live in. If you don't live here, you most likely love the community because you love the team. Let's give some back. This is the first opportunity. We're gonna have more opportunities to give back to our community and help out some wonderful charities moving forward. JB's up next with us. Hey, JB.
Justin, JB here from Orlando. It's been a long week, man. Dragging ass today, Friday. But great fucking game last night. Liked the way the first team offense played. Marpet at center is a game changer. He was basically perfect the whole fucking game, in my opinion. I went and rewatched every offensive series from the first half. He was on his guy the whole time. You know, releasing down to the second level. I mean, it's going to make a big difference. Sweezy actually got blown up once or twice. He wasn't as strong as I think Marpet was probably a better right guard than Sweezy, but Sweezy's going to come along. It's a bummer about Dot. I don't know if what kind of severity that injury was. And, you know, Benenac did okay, but, you know, get called for holding, I think. And anyway, O-line looked really good. I think Martin looked really good. I don't see a reason necessarily to cut him anymore just based on the rest of the roster. But anyway, I just want to say thanks, dude. I think you know, this whole thing is unifying people. And after this past week, some of the shit that's been going on in Virginia and elsewhere, you need more unification, less bullshit. You know, Tom Jones made something out of nothing. I mean, I remember when I saw that on Hard Knocks, I was like, well, you know, is that cool of Jameis busting the balls of those two guys who probably won't even make the team or end up, you know, working as security guards? But when you look back, it's all about context, and Hard Knocks has no fucking context. They always just present little sound bites without putting it with a real frame of reference. They'll probably do the same thing for this next week's episode, but Jameis is a real leader, and if those guys were fucking around on the bench or not paying attention or not pissed off about what happened, then yeah, they deserve the criticism. So anyway, Tom Jones can, you know, go take a hike or fuck himself, whatever. All right, man. Thanks for all you're doing. I'm out.
All right, JB. And excellent points there as well. Mike's in Wesley Chapel. Hey, Mike.
What up, Kamesh? What up, Stick Carriers? It's Mike here in Wesley Chapel. It's the morning after the preseason game with the Jags, and I gotta say, man, from this week with Hard Knocks and with the game, I'm fucking loving so far what I'm seeing out of number 3, Jameis motherfucking Winston. He's been hitting his targets. He had that one boneheaded play, but 21 for 29, 196 yards, I'll fucking take it. I love what I'm seeing out there, and I love what I'm seeing on Hard Knocks with his fucking leadership. And I don't care what any fucking has-been writer for the Times has to say about it, that fucking natural contrarian. Don't give a fuck about his opinion, Bucks. Don't give a fuck about his opinion, Winston. If it was up to that motherfucker, we'd have paid Josh Freeman $100 million. So that guy, I'm not even going to say his name, but he can go eat shit, and he can fuck off Winston, because this is his motherfucking team, and he'll establish whatever culture he wants to. And with that, right back into this, motherfuckers. Speak softly. And carry a big motherfucking stick. Let's go, Bucks.
Mike, you just carried it right there. I love it. Excellent points. And thanks for sending in your Bucks take. Again, if you want to send in a Bucks take, bucksuncensored@gmail.com. We got a couple to go. We've got somebody with a question. So Phil Collins is standing by. Adolfo's going to be up. And Tony might have the most electric Bucks take of all coming up in a moment. But we'll start with David. Hey, David.
What's going on, Justin? It's Dave from Clearwater. I wanted to make a Bucks take on the current running back situation, and I'll try to quickly run through that. Doug Martin. Doug Martin looks great. He looks like the 2015 Doug Martin, but we all know he's not going to be available for the first 3 weeks. So I think it'll probably be smart for the Bucks to probably put him on the shelf this next preseason game. You know, we know what he can do. And it just gives more opportunities to find out who our first-ring running back will be going into week one. And it looks like Jacquizz Rodgers, but, you know, in the limited opportunities he's gotten this preseason, doesn't really look, you know, good or impressive. Granted, it's only been a limited opportunity. So I think it'll be probably smart to, you know, give Jacquizz Rodgers an increased workload and see what he can do with the starters. And I know we've made fun of Charles Sims in the past, calling him Twinkle Toes, but I actually like the way he's looked in the preseason. Looks, you know, more patient. He's not as choppy when he gets the ball. And he's putting his head down. He's showing great balance. So, I mean, if we can get that type of running back out of Charles Sims running the football, I mean, I think that'll be great, because when he's in the game, defenses don't say, well, you know, we all know it's a pass because he can't run for shit. And, you know, we can put him in and we can run or pass with Charles Sims. Peyton Barber, you know, he's looked good. He just doesn't have that burst that we're looking for out of a starting caliber running back. He can get downhill. Looks like the blocking is coming together. But I don't know. I mean, he doesn't look impressive to me. But, I mean, is he formidable? Can he be a short yardage back? I think we can use him in that fashion, but giving him 15, 20 carries, I don't know. I mean, jury's still out on him. McNichols. McNichols is a rookie. He's going to make rookie mistakes. He's still learning the playbook. I don't think he's ready for that type of workload, especially, you know, if he's going there and blowing an assignment and get Jameis killed, whiffing on a block. Running back-wise, you know, the running skills are there. We can see it's you know, it's right in front of us, but you know, you can't be a great runner if you're hesitant, and I don't think he's there yet. So I think he needs a little bit more time. So, I mean, that's my Bucks take on the running back situation. Long story short, I think Doug, we've seen enough. Go ahead and put him on the shelf, and let's just see more out of Jacquizz Rodgers and Charles Sims, because I think that'll be the main ball carriers going into week one. And I would like to see, like I said earlier, Charles Sims run the football more and just see what he can do, give him an opportunity. You know, it's, you know, you give a guy opportunity, allow him to get better and allow him to prove himself. And, you know, we'll see. So I know I went over a little bit, but I just wanted to share that. And, Justin, I want to know what your take is on that. You know, who do you think trots out there week one? You know, it looks like Charles Sims. I mean, not Charles Sims, but Jacquizz Rodgers. But, I mean, we don't know. I mean, I don't want to shut the door on Charles Sims. So let me know what you think. And shout out to the sponsors. And speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick. I'll let your boy.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
All right, so my opinion of the running backs, David, I think you nailed it. I think it echoes what I had said earlier on in the podcast is, you know, Doug Martin is likely the clear guy. He did not have a good season last year, and guess what? Jacquizz Rodgers ended up getting a majority of the carries. Now, if Doug Martin comes back and does the same shit again, then guess what? Jacquizz Rodgers is going to get a majority of the carries. They got to ride the hot hand, and I think that's why we all love Dirk Cutter as a head coach and Jason Light as general manager. Is they don't really give a shit who you are, where you were drafted, what your stature is. They're going to play the best players. And if Doug Martin's not, and he's not producing, then Jacquizz Rodgers will be the guy. And if Jacquizz Rodgers isn't, they're going to give Charles Sims a chance. They'll keep rotating those guys until they find somebody. But as of right now, Jacquizz Rodgers, to me, will be the feature back the first three games. Charles Sims will be your third down back. And I think Peyton Barber will get in the mix a little bit as well. As for Doug Martin, he'll be back for the Giants game, and he'll be fresh, and they're going to need him. That's a huge, huge game early on in this season. And with that, this guy needs no introduction. Well, unfortunately, he's got the best introduction of everyone.
I'm sure that you have heard the name Aldolfo. A ladies' man who wins a claim, Aldolfo. Well, lovely miss, I am the same Aldolfo. I introduce myself, I am Aldolfo.
What to do what it is, Justin? It's Aldolfo from Fort Lauderdale. Hey, man, commish, man. Shout out again once again to you, man. Love what you're doing out there. Mad love for what you're doing for the Bucks fans and what you're doing for Bucks Nation. It's amazing. Gotta love it. I heard in the podcast that you didn't get too many positive Bucks takes from the game. So I just had to chime in a little bit with a little bit of positivity because my Bucks looked amazing out there. I was just as pumped as you were. I was screaming all over my house. The running game looked solid. We had the quarterbacks of the other team flustered. I mean, they did miss a few opportunities with drop passes. But to be honest with you, I feel like a full game against the Jaguars, we probably would have beat them like 30-7, maybe 30-14, which is what we should do to sorry teams. In the past, I always felt like we played down to our competition or we played up to our competition, but we never just whooped ass, you know, from beginning to end. And that's what I felt like our first team showed us, that no matter what we tried to do, we were going to be successful. And to be honest, that mistake by Jameis was the only one I saw. Because the throw, the deep out route, he was just trying to get a first down on a third and long. I mean, you either get it or you don't. So that was that wasn't really that bad a play to me. You got to try to go for something. You got to try to get it, no? But the end zone play, that's unacceptable. But besides that, man, I loved what I saw from my team. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a scary season, Justin. Oh, and I can't wait till the stick carrier is out there cursing up a storm, yelling up a storm in every single game. I want to hear y'all through the screen, baby. I'm going to definitely be up there for two games. So here we go, stick carriers. Go Bucks. Carry that big motherfucking stick, y'all.
I am a
We might not be cursing because we're going to take the same approach that we did at the training camp takeover, right? Yes, of course. It's going to be kids around, but we're going to be loud as fuck. And we can cuss on the podcast, so that's all fun. Tony is all fired up.
Justin, your boy Tony Tega again, Section 112, and holy shit. You know, I didn't like that Jameis red zone flub any more than anyone else, but let's keep something in mind here. You know, Jameis isn't Brady, and Dirk, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's Brett Favre. And for, you know, the most of us that have watched his entire career, and we know Favre, you know, he makes plays that make your jaw drop, and others, we have no idea what the fuck he's doing. You know, you get the good with the bad, so goddamn people, slow your roll. You know, for those of you that want Jameis benched, go watch Blake Bortles again, and then go thank God that we have Jameis here. Justin, the 26 is so close, and my personal goals are set as a fan. Go 6-2 or better at home and have Ray J lead the NFL in false starts by an opposing team. I'm going to find you and drop a serious man hug on you one of these days, man. So stick carriers! Let's get to work, baby. Speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
Let's get to work. God, got me all fired up. Tony, get there early, man. 6 o'clock, 6:15. We'll meet outside the ticket office. We'll all go in together, and it's going to be we got to bring the party, and we got to bring it loud as soon as we walk in that stadium. So if you're showing up and you want to represent the Stick Carriers, if you want to show this organization what the Stick Carriers are going to bring every single game, you better be ready. You better speak softly all week long, because I'm going to need that voice on Saturday night. Got it? Good. With that, we will end things and remind you, at Commish Online, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, JPulowski324 on Snapchat, Stick Carrier Facebook page. Go ahead and sign up. We might already be over 4,500 members. That's just a great place for Bucks fans to interact. We let you know of all the events and how we can coordinate things and keep this thing growing. We want all Bucks fans to be Stick Carriers. That's the ultimate goal, because that we all are Stick Carriers. Dirt Cutter said he wants us to speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick. Well, we're just proving to him that Bucks fans carry that big motherfucking stick. Period. This podcast happens for you Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays all throughout the season. If you want it first thing in the morning, you go to joebucksfan.com. If you want to listen to it on demand, just go ahead and subscribe on iTunes, Podcast Addict, or Podbean. At noon on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, the podcast will automatically download to your mobile device, and you can listen to it at any time you want. We love it. Thanks again to the sponsors, Bricados and Sports Legends. They have been tremendous partners of ours, and hopefully we'll continue doing so throughout football season. And we might even be adding some more. We love B4 as well. B4 actually saved me this past weekend. Had a beach weekend. And yeah. Love you, B4. Drinkb4.com. Christian from Headlines Barbershop. They got, 6 or 7 locations across the Bay Area. They've got their own app as well, so you can make an appointment there. And I think that's going to do it for me. So we always go right back into this, the words of the Godfather himself, Dirt Cutter, when he said, speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick. Nailed it.
Go Bucks.